the risen Christ. With all assurance, he is risen. He's alive. What a beautiful, beautiful day this is. I want you to open your Bible with me, please, to two places. I'll be brief in my message. The children are waiting to find the candy. Maybe some of you adults are excited about it also. I look like I've found the candy, but anyway. Romans chapter 1. Listen to these words. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. What he is saying here is, this is my life. He had met this Savior. Jesus had become his Lord. He met the resurrected Jesus. In this passage, Paul says, in essence, he's my life. He's the reason for living. He's the reason for my being. Verse 2, he said, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures are so valuable. Had the Jewish people really known the Scriptures, had the Sadducees and Pharisees, had the Sanhedrin, had the chief priest really known the Scriptures, they would have recognized Jesus. They would have known who he was. Look at verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the Scriptures. Through his mother, he was of the lineage of David. But listen at verse 4. This is the verse I want to share from this passage. Then I want to ask you to turn back to Acts. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. How? According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection is so important. I want you to turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And by the way, Romans, the pensman for the book of Romans, was probably one of the greatest scholars in Christianity. The Apostle Paul penned these words. He was a brilliant, trained person. He was noted as one of the real scholars of his day. He was trained at the feet of a Jewish rabbi and professor whose name was Gamaliel. Gamaliel was noted as one of the wisest scholars of his day. And God led Paul to pen these words. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Think about that. This is not some radical. This is not some religious kook. This is not someone that really has lost control, his self-control. Here's a man speaking with wisdom and from a scholarly standpoint, but he had met Jesus. And he said he has been declared, he's declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. He's God. He's God. Go, if you would, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. This book was written by a medical doctor. The Holy Spirit inspired Dr. Luke to write these words. Listen to what he said. He said, the former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We're not certain who Theophilus was. Some say that he was a great Christian of that era. Some say that he could have held a political position and became a Christian. He was a very godly person from what little we know about him. And this treatise was addressed to him and in turn to all of us. And this is what Dr. Luke said. He said, I've tried to write about all the things that I have learned and heard, the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. I've tried to be accurate in pinning this down as the Holy Spirit inspired me to do so. Until the day, listen to this, until the day in which he was taken up, I've tried to keep a record what Jesus did, what he said, until he was taken up back into heaven. Then he said, until the day in which that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. This is the verse I want you to see. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs. I want you in your mind to underscore that word infallible. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Infallible. In error. Factual. No disputing. If you're honest, no disputing if you take the evidence and look at it. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Listen to this. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God in regard to the future is really what he was saying. For 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus walked upon this earth. He spoke about what's ahead for us. He left infallible proofs of his resurrection. And I want to speak this morning just briefly. I want to give you some of those infallible proofs. The great difference between Christianity and other religions, and there are literally thousands and thousands of religions on this planet today. In fact, I'm told that new religions are being discovered almost every month. Somebody comes up with a new doctrine and I've discovered something different. And for some reason, people want to follow something different. Sometimes even people who profess to be Christians get excited about following things that are different. But you won't go wrong to follow the Jesus of this Bible. You won't go wrong by following him whom God declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Let me give you some infallible proofs. We're told that after his resurrection, Jesus began to appear to people, to visit people. Let me give you, first of all, the first infallible proof. It's found in John chapter 20 and verse 14. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She found the stone rolled away. She saw the Lord Jesus. She left rushing back to meet the other women who were bringing spices. And we're told that in Matthew 28, verse 8 through 10, the women who were returning from the tomb after they had come to investigate, and the angelic messenger met them. This is what the angel said. The angel said, all hail, or all joy, oh joy, be not afraid to go tell my brethren that I will meet them in Bethany. Go tell them. So here's two appearances of the Lord. And then number three, Luke chapter 24, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, he appeared to Peter probably in the afternoon of the same day that he was resurrected. He appeared to Simon Peter. He saw him. The other disciples, of course, had a difficult time believing that. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 13 through verse 31, Jesus appeared to two more of his disciples as they made their way home from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were talking about the horrible thing that had happened to their master, the one they thought was going to deliver Israel from the bondage of Rome and set up Israel's kingdom at that time on earth. They were talking about that and discussing how Jesus had been crucified and that some said they had seen him. They were talking about it. And suddenly on the road as they traveled, Jesus joined them. And for some reason, they did not recognize that it was Jesus. Perhaps the Lord withheld that from them. And the Lord talked with them. Jesus went back to Moses and the prophets and began to expound all the scriptures about his death and his ministry and his life and what was going to happen to them. And Jesus gave them a great Bible lesson as they traveled down the road to Emmaus. I sure would have liked to have heard that lesson. Maybe they'll tell us about it someday in heaven. Finally, they arrived home and they said to Jesus, it's late. Would you turn in and share a meal with us? Still not knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus went inside and they sat down. And the Lord reached out and took the bread and began to break the bread. And those disciples saw the nail wounds in his hands. And they recognized Jesus. And they said to one another, it's the Lord. Those two men said, it's the Lord, it's Jesus. And suddenly, Jesus was gone, just like he'd appeared. They began to talk about what they'd seen. Both of them agreed to this. They said, did you have this happen to you? As we walked and talked with him on the road when we first met him today, did your heart burn within you? And both of them agreed that their hearts had burned mightily inside of them when Jesus expounded to them the scriptures. And then, number five, Luke 24, verse 36 through verse 43, and John chapter 20 and verse 19. Met with the disciples, with the exception of Thomas. He met with them on the first day in the upper room. They assembled in the upper room. They were there not to worship. They were not there to go out and conquer a world with the gospel like they did later. But they were there because of fear of being killed like Jesus was. They had all the doors fastened. All the windows were fastened. And suddenly Jesus came and stood in the very presence of those disciples and talked with them. They saw him. These 11 disciples saw him. They saw him. Well, Thomas was not with them on this occasion. He wasn't there. Those disciples that were present and saw Jesus later told Thomas about what they had seen, and Thomas said, I'm sorry, but unless I can see him for myself And unless I can put my fingers in the nail holes in his hands and plunge my hand into his side, his riven side, I just simply can't believe that he's alive. And Thomas battled that for 8 days. He thought about that for 8 days. And the next Sunday, they were in the upper room again. This time, Thomas was present. Jesus came and stood in their presence. He looked over the room and looked over at Thomas. And he said, Thomas, I want you to come over. I want you to put your fingers in the nail holes. I want you to place your hand in my side. And I don't want you to doubt, but I want you to believe. You know what happened? Suddenly Thomas cries out, my Lord and my God. He never put his finger in the nail holes. He never thrust his hand into his side. He believed him. He said, my Lord and my God. Then in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29, after he had met with Thomas and the other disciples the second time, in John 21, verse 1 through 23, to seven of his disciples by the lake of Tiberias, they went fishing. They hadn't seen him in a few days, so they went fishing. And Jesus appeared to them. He appeared to them, fed them fish. And then on the mountain, according to 1 Corinthians 15:6, listen to this. Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one time. Then in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through verse 20, he appeared again to those 11 disciples and gave them their commission, gave them their command. And then in Acts chapter 9, he met the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul saw him. He saw the resurrected Christ. Paul, the hardened political leader and religious leader that was so set and so opposed to the church and to the gospel and the message of the gospel and the resurrection. But he met Jesus personally himself. And he never got over that. And then in Acts chapter 22, Paul was in the temple in Jerusalem. He went up to Jerusalem to visit. He was in the temple at Jerusalem, and Jesus appeared to him. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, he appeared to Stephen just outside of Jerusalem when Stephen was stoned to death. Remember that story? Stephen was being stoned to death. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 20, he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. He was alive. The resurrected Christ appeared to John. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful book. Let me give you this illustration. Brother Ray Ash is here this morning. He is an attorney. He sang in the choir. He's been a lawyer in Loganville for many, many years. Has a tremendous reputation and testimony. If tomorrow, if suddenly throughout this area, people begin to say, we saw Don Richards at 10 minutes until 12. Yesterday, we saw him rob a service station. He did it. We saw it. He did it. And if that word spread all across this area and the police came and arrested me, do you think if Brother Ash stood as my defender, do you think and called all of you people, close to 500 people, perhaps 400 here this morning, if he called you one at a time to the stand and said, did you see Don Richards yesterday at 11? 40-something, did you see him? 11:52, did you see him there yesterday? Was he there? Certainly you could say he was there. You see me. You hear me. I'm here. Well, let me ask you a question. Why do men have such a tough time believing that Jesus is God? Why do so many want to discredit the resurrection and say it didn't take place? How could a logical person do that when over 40 people saw him at one time? Did you know that men have been sentenced to death just by the witness of one person? Do you know that it is absolutely no way to dispute the testimony of at least three people? And yet 40 people saw the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the resurrection, first of all, proves the deity that Jesus Christ is God. A person would have to be just absolutely willfully saying, I won't accept the evidence, I won't accept the proof, I will not accept the gospel, I will not accept his resurrection. And a person would almost have to be really insane to do that. It's just not even logical to do that. They have to willfully and deliberately act in blindness to do that. He is the Son of God, proven by the resurrection from the dead. And then the resurrection not only proves the deity of Christ, but the resurrection provides our salvation. You and I would have never been completely saved had Jesus not been raised from the dead. That's part of the gospel. I love the cross. When I looked at the portrayal of Jesus being crucified today, my heart wept. I had trouble keeping the tears from flowing and coming in my eyes. The cross touches me. Cross moves me on the inside and in my spirit. But I'm telling you, the resurrection is where the joy and the hope and the assurance is found. In the resurrection of Christ, his resurrection provides for our salvation, makes it complete. Listen to what Romans 4 and verse 25 says. Who was delivered for our offenses. Do you know why our Lord had to go to the cross? It was because of my offensive and your offenses, my sins and your sins. Jesus had to go to the cross because of that. But listen, just as he was delivered for our offenses, he was raised for our justification. You know, that word justification is a wonderful word. You know what it means? It means that God looks at you and God looks at me if our feeble faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God looks at us as though we had never committed one sin in our entire being. I'd hate for God to judge me based on my life, based on my sins, my good deeds. I'd hate to have to face all the ugly things about life. But I'm glad that my faith is in the resurrected Christ. I'm glad that he was delivered for my offenses. He paid for them. And then he was raised for our justification. Saved, justified. You might be here today. In your heart there might be guilt. in your mind you might be remembering. You might be thinking, well, I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. How can you reject Christ? How could anyone say no to this Christ who died and was buried and was resurrected from the dead? How could anyone say no to him? Why would we not want to receive him with open hearts and open arms, knowing that he justifies us and sets us free? And then lastly, not only does it provide our salvation, but his resurrection gives us power for living. Power for living. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Do you know what one of the biggest hang-ups is in people? When you talk to them and they do not know Christ, especially adults. I suppose I've had 100 people say to me over the last 60 years, I've had people give this excuse. Well, I'd consider becoming a Christian, but I can't live it. I can't live it. And I just won't become a Christian because I can't live the life. Now listen to me. You can't live it. You can't live life that you don't have. You have to have eternal life before you can live like a person that has eternal life. And Jesus gives us life. He gives us power to follow him. And Jesus lives his life through us by that power. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I hope that if you're not saved this morning, I hope that you'll give thought to receiving this Christ. He'll save you today. Hebrews 9:25 says, wherefore, also he is able to save those who come to God by him to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. The resurrection is so wonderful and so important. This Christ, this Jesus, is coming again. This Jesus will return again. He's coming. If you do not know him this morning, would you give thought to it? Every person in this room, now listen, that's saved is hoping that you'll get saved. Every person in this room that has real assurance that they're going to heaven when they die, they are praying that you'll get that assurance today. They're pulling for you. They're for you. They love you. They want to encourage you. And I want to encourage you to come and trust Christ today. I hope you'll do it if you're not saved. Let's stand, please, across the congregation. Thank you for being here today. What a wonderful day it's been. Thank you for being here. Our heads are bowed for just a moment.